Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair Media Network. It's Tua time in South Beach. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. future mayor of football hotbed Phoenix, Arizona. And with me, as always, is AJ. The state of Arizona is a hellhole. Mark Hazy.
Okay. Well, don't send a Sun Devil Nation after me, Rob. What's your platform for
Forks
you?
Up.
Okay, that's it. I like it.
Forks up and bear down. That's my platform.
Okay. We'll probably win.
Let's make Arizona amazing.
Okay.
Today, we're talking all the NFL rookies who thrived and struggled in week 6. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving up to Cleveland, maybe looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, eh? Don't draft specialists on the second day, eh? Maybe draft a punter in the 6th. We'll see. Let's go 7 rounds. Let's go 7 rounds together. Let's go 7 rounds forever. And that's a song.
The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff, and the World Series is in full swing, and maybe you're betting on something else too. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Before NFL talk, we have some sad news from the 2021 NFL draft class. Penn State running back Journey Rounds expected to miss this season due to a medical condition. Undisclosed, there hasn't been many details yet, but obviously a big blow to that Penn State team. In the running back class in general, Brown was, I think, a summer riser and pretty much consensus top 5 running back in a class heading into the year. Had over 800 yards last year, 12 TDs. Big, big, big playback. I really liked him. I believe AJ also really liked him.
I did. I thought he had a really good shot to be the third running back off the board.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he, like, especially with Kenneth Gainwell –
yeah,
already opting out. Yeah, I think it was a very, very good chance. Like, it wasn't consistent through the season, but in the games where he was featured, it was big time.
Very much so, yeah. And, I mean, this is scary. Hope all is well. But, for multiple reasons, this is disappointing and shitty news.
On a brighter note, the Dolphins did name Tua Tagovailoa. I can say it when I'm not on the podcast. That's why I feel confident trying to say it, and then I can't.
I've got a lot of those names that like Tua, I practice.
Tua. Yeah. Oh my god, Tua Tagovailoa starting QB for Week 7 against the Rams.
You still got it wrong, but that was. I'm pretty
say
shocked.
It. Say it, big shot.
Fuck, not under Tua Tagovailoa.
What did I say? Oh, I said Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I'm going to stop saying it. It's Tua time.
I'm pretty shocked that this happened. Obviously, we saw him get into the game at the very end against the Jets, but I didn't expect this news when I was awoken this morning, Rob. How about you?
Only because, like, Fitz have been playing very, very well. Exactly. They've been winning games.
They're very
it makes
much...
sense. I'm glad they did it. It makes sense. But, like, they just blanked the Jets. I mean, it's the Jets, but still. And you'd think maybe that would be the game where you'd start Tua.
Yeah.
Just because it's the Jets. But at the same time, Fitz was coming off an amazing performance against the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they didn't want to wait till their bye week. I think their bye week's week 11.
Sounds
right. So I guess they didn't want to wait that long. And so he's debuting at home against the Rams, then in Arizona, then at home against Herbert and the Chargers, then the bye week. So a nice little three-game showcase prior to the bye.
I mean, yeah, I also love it. It just, again, it caught me off guard. And like you said, Fitz was playing really well. I'm kind of glad we got to see him. Like, it's funny. It's like, did those two plays sell them? Like, all right, this is our quarterback next week, boys. But yeah, with the Dolphins being very much in the playoff picture right now, caught me off guard, and they're playing good football. I mean, this is awesome, though. It's exciting as hell. It gives us a lot more content, so that's great for us. Big win for us, Ralph.
And I think the offensive line's been overachieving, and yep. a resident Dolphins fan and friend of the show, Matt McCune, pointed to that as why he thinks it happened now, is yeah. because that Dolphins' young offensive line's been playing much better than expected. I mean, it's not like they don't have weapons around them, right? Like, the running back situation is not great, but the pass catchers, I mean, yeah, you mentioned Gesicki, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, like, that's three legitimate NFL talent playmakers.
And, like, Gaskin's enough right now, like, for...
Yeah, well, and, like, the defense is playing pretty good football right now. It's a fun team to watch, and yeah. inserting Tua makes it that much more fun.
It was so great to see Fitzpatrick's reaction on the sideline when they put two in. And I'm sure he's just going to be like the ultimate cheerleader continuing for two. Yeah. It makes this team, like you said, already fun to watch. It makes them 100 times more fun, though.
Very much so. Okay. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, rookie QB rundown, Justin Herbert on the bye week. Most people are expecting him to play at an MVP level when he returns, especially me, because I made a big trade in fantasy to acquire him. More importantly, Joe Burrow played against the Colts. Almost won the game, didn't quite. They fell 31-27. He ended up throwing an interception on their final game-winning style drive. It wasn't a great game by any stretch, but it was nice to see him kind of have a bit of a bounce back game after what we saw against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. It was more like his week two game where he's throwing a ton of passes and they're not really pushing the ball that far downfield, but he's looking confident. He's poised behind a bad offensive line. That's a good Colts defense, too, and they managed to put up points. It wasn't a lot of big plays. A lot of the drives are sustained, like, long drives. His rushing touchdown came on, like, I think a 12-play, like, 7-minute drive. He wasn't one of the best rookies this week by any stretch, but... If he hadn't been playing so well for that, three-game stretch earlier in the year, you would look at this and be like, this was a really nice game from him. Just our standards became so high with him. it was an okay game, but a great game in the context of a rookie bouncing back from a horrid performance the week before.
Yeah, very, very, very much so. And, I mean, almost came back, like you mentioned. They were down big. I assume you didn't mention it was Julian Blackman making that great pick because you're mentioning him later in the show?
Yeah, I will be mentioning him. They weren't down big. They were way up, and they blew the lead.
Sorry, my bad. Reversed. I'm stupid.
Yeah, it's okay. They're up 24-7 and, like, going into near the end of the second quarter, and then the Colts came alive.
I'm dumb. I forgot that he wasn't drafted by the Colts. Kidding. Hey, one more rookie quarterback saw a couple snaps. Jalen Hurts, baby. Two rushes for 23 yards and caught a pass for 3 yards. I thought he sparked the offense a bit, obviously, when he was in there. They weren't really doing much. They threw him in. He got a couple rushes. And, like, Wentz has gotten his head mostly out of his ass the last 2 weeks, but the team is still a disaster. I mean, good game, but they still lost. I do think it would be smart to continue to mix Jalen Hurts in and mix him in more. I just getting him involved, and they had both of them on the field a couple times, and had them both in the backfield with their hands up. You didn't know where the ball was going. And then, yeah, getting him in the ground game, and he looked effective. And just to mix that in, I think, is important.
Is there any realistic way you see Jalen Hurts starting a game this year for the Eagles?
No. If they were in a better division, maybe. I mean, Wentz could – this is terrible to say, but if Wentz gets hurt, yeah, and he's taking a pounding behind that terrible offensive line. But no, I think just based on performance, I think Wentz is, like, doing well enough now after the last 2 weeks that I don't see him getting benched for Hurts. But I do see him getting mixed in more, and I think it'd be smart too.
I've got an even better question.
Okay.
Okay, obviously we have seen Herbert and Burrow start. We're going to see Tua start. That's the three quarterbacks who went in the top 10. Not surprising we're seeing them start games. Will we see any other quarterback drafted in the 2020 draft start a game this year? That could include your friend Ben DiNucci.
I mean, I guess there's a chance DiNucci starts. Like, who else would there even be? Love,
Jordan Love, no. In a Week 17 throwaway game?
Maybe. Eason, if the Colts, like, Eason's no chance. No, I'm going to say no, just for the exercise. Maybe Ben DiNucci might be the best chance right now, to be honest.
If you had to bet on someone, I think you're betting on Ben DiNucci.
He got action, so, I mean, yeah, I agree.
Okay, moving on to your offensive rookie of the week.
I'm going to Tristan Wirfs, who I thought was absolutely fantastic in a tough-ass matchup against the Packers. And he was so good, and obviously they kicked the Packers' ass. Didn't give up a single pressure, worked the run game beautifully. I know I've said this for months and met so many times, but, like, he is exactly who the Bucs needed going into the draft. They were lucky he fell far enough for them to strike and grab him, one pick, whatever. And he's been better than they could have ever expected. Like, exactly what they needed. I'm pretty sure Tampa's first in DVOA, and without him, I honestly think that might be different.
He would have been. I figured you'd pick him, so I put a second one. But I mean, I don't think there's been a better offensive rookie than Tristan Wirfs this year. I don't know if there's been a better rookie in general, especially with him being inserted onto a team that's expected to contend for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
At no point has he been, like, obviously the Bears game was his toughest game. He's battling Khalil Mack, but although he did give up some pressure and sacks, that game, like, as a whole, he played way better than most rookies would against Khalil Mack.
I agree. And like, he got flipped the one time, and that's a highlight, but no, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a good game, but I don't think it was a brutal game at all.
No, like, I wouldn't ding him and say it was one of the five worst that week or anything. Like, no. I think it was, like, a fine.
Agreed.
Has there been a better rookie than him through the first 6 weeks of the season?
In the context of being on a competing team and, you know, like, maybe he's the most valuable rookie so far.
That's it. Because obviously offensive tackle is one of the hardest positions in general. Well, it's like one of the three most important positions, and rookie offensive linemen generally have a tough time translating. Yeah. Look at Andrew Thomas with the Giants, and Wirfs has been money from day one. I think he's on his way to making a Pro Bowl as a rookie.
Yeah, he's got a great chance to do so. And again, if the Bucs keep winning, and they've been great, and the defense has been great, rookie season is really within his reach. Agreed.
And just talking more, you already went through this Packers game a little bit, but, like, the fact that he's going toe-to-toe with Za'Darius Smith, mm-hmm. Preston Smith, like, just one of the best pass-rushing groups in the NFL. And
they did nothing.
Giving up, he gave up zero.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so athletic and so strong. I still cannot believe he fell as far as he did. The fact that he fell out of the top 10 is crazy. He is, yeah, he's fun to watch. He's already one of my favorite offensive linemen to watch in the NFL.
And leading for a Rojo career game, I assume. I don't know if it was the best game of his career, but I'm sure it was.
Rojo? He's back-to-back-to-back 100-yard games.
Whoa.
Stud, I told you. I don't miss. I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
I think that would be the obvious other choice to Tristan Wirfs this week.
Yep.
Flashier game as a skill position man. 9 catches, 166 yards, 2 touchdowns. Just the okay. I think that the best play was the stutter and go.
Yep.
He just killed Kendall Sheffield. poor Kendall Sheffield. I've watched too many Falcons games, and Kendall Sheffield's not very good. But just his ability to run routes and just torch people already is impressive. And he's emerged as the go-to guy, and he's been one of the best wide receivers this year in general.
Very much so. Yeah, like the class as a whole is like it just it's every week. It's not like you're seeing these headline numbers, but I mean you'll see a couple tweets like where like this class as a whole is just putting up insane numbers for them, and Jefferson's at the top of the class. And remember, like the first 2 weeks, like didn't get him involved enough, and we were saying that, and then it's like all of a sudden just boom clicked. And I guess because the Vikings offense was just a shit show the first 2 weeks anyways, but yeah, it's been amazing. And I mean it's almost like going into a game now, you're expecting him to have like 80 yards and 6 catches and a touchdown, like as a baseline day, you know, like it's pretty remarkable.
Well, this and the Titans game from earlier in the year—that's two of the best rookie wide receiver performances I think the NFL has ever seen.
Fair enough.
This one getting a little less attention because they did get blown out by the Falcons, but
yeah,
like he through 6 games, he's already over 500 yards. He's averaging over 19 a catch.
Yeah,
and the funny thing is at LSU, it wasn't like he was not to say he wasn't a big playmaker, like downfield playmaker, but he was known as the kind of the safe slot guy. He was always working himself open in zone coverage, finding holes, and just a really great underneath route runner. And then he gets to the Vikings. They need him to be more than that, and he has been more than that. And he's torching man coverage. His start stop ability and explosiveness out of his breaks, his understanding, I think, of how to win with a release and how to win with a stem, and just he is so nuanced for a route runner.
And honestly, as a rookie, I think that's why we were both bullish on him, is that like winning in the slot, I think sometimes that people think it's too easy, but we saw all the nuance in his route running, and I thought like he had a great combine, and I'm like all of that can translate to being a downfield guy too. So regardless though, like what a major win-win the Diggs trade was for both teams, eh?
Oh, for sure.
Like I'm happy when we get trades like that where we kind of pegged Jefferson to the Vikings like the second that trade happened. But like yeah, that worked out great for both teams.
It's going to be sick when Trey Lance is throwing him the football in here.
It is going to be sick.
Okay, defense rookie of the week.
I didn't have anyone obvious at all. So I kind of went back.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I honestly don't think it was a great week like unless the top couple of guys, and then it's like yeah. Anyways, also, it's kind of just a shitty week of football in general, to be honest. One of my least favorite in a while.
Wrong.
In my
wrong.
Opinion. Anyways.
Wrong.
I'm going back to the well. A bit of an up and down game, but I thought the highs were so high that I gave it to Jalen Johnson. Because, like, the 2 PBUs he had, the one just amazing play, and then Gibson made the interception. I don't know, man. That was, like, one of my favorite plays from Sunday. Yeah, he gave up some yards. Had some rookie mistakes where, like, he just blew a coverage. I think he got called for a really bad DPI. I don't know. Like, he hasn't made those mistakes at all. And just the ability to break on balls and the lack of the rookie mistakes outside this the one or two he made in this game, it's been so great. So I almost gave him, there's no one here, I give it to him. It's kind of what I did.
And again, when you look at a lot of these other rookie corners struggling, it's impressive how he's a starting corner on one of the best defenses in the league. And he looks like he belongs. And you've mentioned last week, some of his penalties, and then this week a couple of his struggles, but it's like when you look at it through the lens of he's a rookie second round corner who has been thrown into the starting lineup on a team that's competing for a playoff spot, and he's playing this well and he looks like he belongs. I think that's a huge plus.
Yeah, totally agree. It was another ticky-tack DPI this week, so
we don't count it here at Seven Rounds in Heaven.
Exactly.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of like major defensive rookie performances this week. I went with Julian Blackman.
Yep.
The Colts safety. He had the game-winning interception off Joe Burrow. it was a perfect play where I don't know if Burrow didn't see him or thought he could fit it in before Blackman would break on the ball and make a play, and he jumped the route and ended the game. He's just been so, his instincts have been so incredible for a rookie. He is the perfect safety for that defense too. Like, Malik Hooker had so much potential and just never could stay healthy. He's going to be gone in free agency for sure now.
Yeah.
And Blackman looks like he's going to start back there for a decade. I don't know if he'll be a Pro Bowl guy, but he's been so disruptive in coverage for a rookie who went in the third round. A lot of people criticized the pick, and
me included.
He's also tough as hell.
Yeah,
like, he throws his body around. I think him and Jordan Fuller have been, I know Fuller's on IR now, but they've both been just so, it's the instincts, the physicality, and this is the safety train coming through Musiman right now. I just love safeties, and when you get just guys who are so smart and tough, and it kind of outweighs maybe some of their physical shortcomings. Love it.
Yeah, I know.
Because that was me as a player.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I heard one time you put you pancaked Nathan Shepard, though.
Yeah. Now his NFL career is not going so well. So, who's the worst rookie you saw?
This is a mean one. I think I've done it a couple times. I didn't have like a standout terrible performance, but Terrence Steele was bad. But that Cowboys offensive line was fucking brutal. Like, I guess Biadasz was okay, considering. But I mean, the Cardinals felt like they're getting pressure on every snap. Chandler Jones wasn't playing. You were out there on the other side. What's his name? I don't know who it is.
Dennis, what is it?
Gardeck?
Keep talking. Gardeck, I think. Yeah, Gardeck. Dennis Gardeck. He's
you.
The best.
It's literally you out there on the edge. Anyways, it was just really bad. I mean, the Cowboys, first of all, the entire offense looked terrible, but the offensive line especially. But
sorry, one sec. Dennis Gardeck has a sick, like, route to the NFL. He's from Lake in the Hills. The town is called Lake in the Hills. It's in Illinois.
Okay.
And I guess it's just a lake in the hills. I don't know.
Yep.
He played at Crystal Lake High School.
I don't know
if that's the lake.
That's where Jason's from, isn't it?
Horror
guy, yeah.
In Illinois?
Camp Crystal Lake, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we'll chalk that up for you. Yeah. He went to West Virginia State.
What the fuck is West Virginia State?
It's not a lot going on their Wikipedia page. Can't tell you very much. They're the Yellow Jackets. And then transferred to Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
Where he was a nominee for the Harlan Hill Trophy and a finalist for the Cliff Harris Award.
Wow.
He is a 6'2", 214-pound edge rusher.
I told you. So, it's you.
Anyway, back to what you were doing. Sorry.
No, okay. So No, I was just going off on Steele. And then, but my last point is, it's not like he is playing because of injury, but he was starting at right tackle the whole year, so I felt a little bit better about putting him here because of that.
West Virginia State's football program doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
I don't think.
It's amazing to me, like, how does that guy find his way to the NFL?
They had a couple no-win and one-win seasons, and holy shit, this team is bad. I'm way off topic.
Okay, hold on. Do we end the show? Not this episode. We keep doing the episode, but we cancel the show and go and try out for West Virginia State.
I could start at West Virginia State. I'm confident in that.
What position? Oh, they'll be like, it's Gardeck all over again.
Gardeck's back. He's a shorter Gardeck.
He's the same age as us too. So, for the record,
don't reveal our age to the listeners. This is off the wheels. My worst rookie is Clavon Chisson, the edge rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We like picking on the same dudes, eh?
Well, it turns out the guys who are bad continue to be bad. Whoa. Hear me out, though. It started hot for Chisson against the Lions, where on the Lions, I think it was their opening drive, they got a big 3rd-and-5 stop. But Chisson lined up offside and allowed the first down to happen, and then they gave him a touchdown. And after that, I didn't think he made a play, but I thought I saw him out there for a lot of snaps while I'm watching this game. Like, But I don't think he's in on anything. So after I checked, he didn't record a tackle, and he played 71% of snaps. I'm watching him for a lot of this. Every time he rushed the passer, except for one spin move he pulled off, every time he's rushing the passer, he's just getting stonewalled. I know we're six games in, but part of it is I don't think the Jaguars have any plan whatsoever with him.
Yeah.
Also, Josh Allen wasn't playing. But it's just, you're not seeing him being used in any good way. I don't know. I don't know what they think they have in him. They don't really, they from time to time, they'll have him play an off-ball linebacker, but not very consistently. And then, like, I don't know. I think he should be, for the time being, their starting Sam linebacker and rush the passer. Like, and obviously as a Sam, he's not going to be on the field that much. And then rush the passer on passing down.
Was he just doing his old, he gets stonewalled and he flails his arms a couple times? And that's
Yeah. And, like, that's, like, this is now, what, six games in. And it's like that, we just each week trade saying that about him.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great.
It's, yeah. CJ Henderson, solid game. Nothing like to write home about, but I thought he played a solid game. The Lions did just really just torch Trey Herndon. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got torched.
That Jags secondary is bad, yeah.
Yeah. Josh Jones just kept getting called on pass interference. It was great. That game was not
How did Daniel Thomas look? He had like 9 tackles last week. My boy. Did he play a lot?
Yeah, not a lot, but when he I respect how much he throws his body around.
Yeah, that's why I liked him.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe Schobert made a lot of plays, even though they couldn't stop the Lions.
Classic Joe Schobert, baby.
Love Joe Schobert. Primetime star.
I hesitate to pick this game because it started at 5 o'clock Eastern. Wasn't really primetime, but it was supposed to be Thursday night, so I gave it to them. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in the rain, they needed to rely on him big time, and he came through big time. Had under 61 yards on 26 carries, 94 yards after contact. That's impressive. Kind of back to the Clyde Edwards-Helaire we saw, week one, where he's breaking tackles. I think he broke 4 tackles. And just every time he touched the ball, it felt like he was going to make something happen. And, had a touchdown on a bad flag, brought it back that wasn't a hold. I think he was the easy choice, to be honest.
He was also my choice. There wasn't a lot else to pick from, and he had an incredible game. Like, the offense heavily used him, it felt like, for the first time.
Yep. Since week one, yeah.
Yeah, just to burn his legs now that they got Lev Bell in the building. He was just bouncing off everything.
Yeah.
He was making plays inside and outside. I thought it's one of the best rushing performances I think we've seen this season in general.
Yeah, agreed. The rain was fun. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. Imagine trading him in fantasy, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you can get Justin Herbert, you have to do it, okay?
in a
2-QB league where it makes more sense to have quarterbacks than running backs, for the record, for the listener. Yeah, a full dynasty league where our rosters are 45 players.
It's 40, okay? It's just 45 because I'm lazy and it gives me breathing space. Anyways, underwhelming performance, Rob. Where are you going?
I hate to pick this guy because he's played so well to this point, but oh, Jedrick Wills.
I'm doing a hate to pick this guy too, so I'm glad.
Okay. Yeah, Jedrick Wills. I mean, it was the whole Browns offensive line. They had been kind of carrying that team and giving them an identity, and then they ran into the steel curtain defense, and as a whole, like, nobody looked good up front, so it's hard to just kill the rookie left tackle. But Dupree got the best of him a handful of times. They were blitzing the hell out of them, too, and Baker Mayfield looked horrible. It's hard to kill him, but it was underwhelming.
I'm doing the same thing, except the complete opposite, if that makes any sense. Chase Young.
It doesn't make sense.
No, hold on. He was underwhelming because he didn't ruin the Giants offensive line like I expected. Wasn't a bad game at all. Like, I think he got credit with the TFL. He forced Jones into a red zone pick that maybe should have came back. But anyways, wasn't as stout against the run as he usually is. And, like, Daniel Jones,
coming off the injury, though.
I know. I'm not being mean. It's like I was hoping he's going to smoke them, which he, you know, it's been easily. It's not a bad game at all. It's just, like, I was ready for him to fucking toast this Giants line. Go ahead. What, you're going to ask a question?
Did Andrew Thomas How'd he play?
Yeah, okay. Better, I would say. But they were mixing Pert in, and I'll talk about that more later. But
yes.
Yeah, they're mixing. It was weird. It wasn't just the first quarter either. They kind of just mixed him in. And now Judge already is saying he's not committing to Thomas being a starter. But it lit a bit of a fire.
It's good.
But I didn't see much of a difference between Thomas and Pert. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, anyways. Daniel Jones kept keeping it on the old zone read and getting yards. And Young was there and kind of just missed it a couple times. Again, not a bad game at all. I just was ready for him to – like, I chose this game hoping – I mean, I already knew the result. But I'm hoping that he was just going to fucking dominate, which he didn't. So that's my pick.
I will add – I've got two more.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor, it's still classic. Like it was a like he had over 100 total yards, 55 receiving, 60 on the ground, but it just, especially in a week where you see DeAndre Swift and Clyde Edwards-Helaire go off,
mm-hmm.
and you're just kind of waiting for it with Jonathan Taylor, and it almost felt like he had as much hype as any rookie this year.
Like yeah, he was expected to be the best statistically of the bunch.
And then Marlon Mack goes down, and everyone's like, well, it's fine. Like, Jonathan Taylor's going to go off. And he really hasn't. The offense as a whole struggles. Phillip Rivers has been very not great. But you're just waiting for him to rip off these big plays, and it's still not happening. And he's a freak of nature as an athlete. And so you're waiting for him. He's going to have one run where they run him off Quentin Nelson's ass. He breaks a couple tackles and houses one. It still hasn't happened, and
it's been a lot of him going down on first contact.
Yes, and his lack of vision is a little alarming. Like, again, underwhelming just because you're waiting for it. Yeah. And it's the Bengals, and it's still not happening. And, like, through six games, to me, he looks like he's a fine number two NFL running back. Which, again, he's a rookie, so it's hard to kill him. But when you see Clyde Edwards-Helaire and DeAndre Swift torching defenses, you're hoping to see a game soon where Jonathan Taylor
mm-hmm.
goes off.
Very much.
So. Do you have anybody else, or should I jump to my last?
No, go to your last guy. I didn't have too many rookies I found this week, to be honest. But anyway, yeah, go.
Jerry Jeudy, against the Patriots, that game was so many field goals. It was just Brandon McManus hitting like bomb field goals. He's sick, by the way. He's my rookie of the week. they beat the Patriots 18-12. You thought, you're hoping with Lockback that they might hit some more big plays, but it was like he didn't see an absolute ton of targets, but I also thought he struggled to create separation. And just lacked a little bit of chemistry with Locke. Again, it's hard to kill him, but it's when you see Justin Jefferson every other week going off, Chase Claypool going, like these other stub rookies having those. Jerry Jeudy hasn't had that game yet, right?
He's had, he had that, the one moment. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. But he had the mossing of the Jets. But and he hasn't been bad or anything like by any stretch, but you're just kind of waiting for his game when all these other guys are doing it.
Yeah, I get it. It's just like the Broncos offense have been a mess, and like you said, it was Locke's first game back. Not killing him for anything, but I get it.
He's better than Deshaun Hamilton, I'll tell you that for free.
Go fuck off. You're right, though.
okay, who looks like a hit?
Jeremy Chinn, man. He had a great pick. Kind of just dropped off his guy, fell back, high pointed the ball. It was a bad throw from Foles, but still, like, I just think like Chin's been such a force for the Panthers. Like, even when he isn't putting up big stats, it just feels like his ability to get sideline to sideline, play balls to the wall, like every snap, it just feels like mm-hmm. so huge for the Panthers being competitive this year. Aside from the great scheming by Brady and Co on offense, but and like for a young defense, I'm not confirming anything, but he feels like the leader there, and I just think that all coming together for a second round guy that slipped a little bit, it's been great, and I think he's awesome.
Yeah, every time you watch the Panthers, he's an energizer bunny for them. Yeah. It feels like he's in on every tackle. He cleans up everything, and they have pieces there. Like obviously, there's Derek Brown, Shaq Thompson, Dante Jackson, but it already feels like he's kind of he's giving off that dude alpha energy when you watch that Panthers defense.
Yeah, and that's what I think we both expect from Derek Brown. that hasn't come, but this might have been his best game. He got a couple hurries in there against Foles and Co.
But we mentioned he looked good against the Cardinals and the Chargers. I think he had like 3 TFLs against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's starting to put it together.
He's just inconsistent. He struggles against good offensive lines, slash the Falcons. And then he feasts on the lesser offensive
lines. Yeah, that's pretty much. But like that's not bad for a rookie. It's just a little disappointing.
No. I've also been overly hard on him, I think.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Looks like a hit for me. Chase Claypool. Hell yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers. I loved the pick when it happened. A lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans on my Steeler Twitter didn't love the pick. A lot of draft Twitter people didn't love the pick.
Can I say I didn't love the pick because I knew I was too low on him once the Steelers took him?
Ha ha ha. I love the pick as a Steelers fan, yeah, as a Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a long-time Irish fan.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 6 touches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Browns. He had another jet sweep touchdown. Matt Canada's influence is all over this offense, which is hilarious to me because we've been long-time Matt Canada stans even through the bad times. And yep. He's the quarterback coach in Pittsburgh now, and they incorporated a lot of jet motion, which is his bread and butter. I think he's going to be an offensive coordinator in college football again soon.
He should be.
I hope so. He is a good... I mean, he did well with Maryland given the circumstances.
Yeah, it was just the LSU job.
Yeah, I know. So kind of like dirtied his name. Yeah. But yeah, Claypool just... His size and his speed are just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger clearly trusts him already. Especially with Deontay Johnson dealing with injuries. Like, Claypool's just been the dude. He's already... In the last 2 weeks, he's been the focal point of the passing game, and he's just so much fun to watch. He's just such a I think he's this class's DK Metcalf, where he was a freak in nature, and but people still had certain questions about him. He slid. Obviously, it's not the same level as DK because a lot of people thought DK Metcalf was a first round talent.
Yeah.
But Claypool just is such a freak that it's just panning out. And when you land with the right situation too, like DK mm-hmm. Metcalf in Seattle and Chase Claypool in Pittsburgh.
Pretty perfect, Rob. Happy for both of us, eh?
Mapletron. Yeah, it's nice to have a stud wide receiver, isn't it?
It's beautiful. I swear, I say this to you every week. I still can't believe Metcalf's a Seahawk. It's weird. And you'll be saying that about Claypool next year, Rob.
Claypool and DK, both fun social media follows as well.
Yeah, that's true. Good guys. Anyways.
All right, who...
Looks like a
who
miss.
You got is a miss.
Yeah, it looks like a miss for me. This is one that I kind of just wanted to talk about more than anything. AJ Epenesa, who...
Oh, I've got him somewhere.
Okay, positively, I hope not.
No.
Okay. Let's talk about him now then. I do have another one, but we'll get there in a sec. 22 snaps on Monday. Did get credited with the pressure. But going back to last week, he got yanked off the field when he jumped offside in that brutal situation. And he just hasn't played that much. And I mean, we didn't think he was going to be on the field too much early in his career, but we also thought the Bills' front seven was good, which it isn't. Because they were just getting gashed by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that Chiefs offensive line was moving them like crazy. And I don't know, just him not getting on the field isn't a great thing for a guy that I forget where you had him on your board. I think I had him, top 35 for me.
I certainly did.
I was higher. I had him 21. So that looks like a big miss for me. Again, it's early, but not a great look, especially for a guy that I thought would fit the NFL well. And I thought like he'd look good when he's on the field. You know what I mean? Even if he's not getting on the field a lot, like the Bills bench Harrison Phillips and whoever the hell else, just healthy scratched them. So like they're really trying to get things going and on the defensive line, and Epenesa's not working there.
Yeah, I put him under needs to step it up because the Bills obviously didn't have a first-round pick because they traded for Stephon Diggs, and he was their first pick. Their defensive line hasn't been playing well. Like you mentioned, we didn't think he would have a huge role early in his career because they have depth there, but as it turns out, not all that great in the end.
Yeah.
And And they lack so much pass rush right now. And you'd hope he could provide something because he's so, or at least at Iowa, he was so good with his hands.
Yeah.
And it made up for some of his lack of athleticism. But to this point, he's went on the field not making much of an impact. And it makes you question maybe that lack of athleticism should have been more of a concern in our evaluations. I personally really struggle sometimes with going back and forth, like, do you, how much do you take in how poor an athlete is but versus how good the tape was, and vice versa, like, this guy's a freak athlete but the tape isn't that good, where does it mesh? And
the NFL struggles like he's gonna with take, it too, so
yeah, and it looks like it's going to take longer for his development than we suspected, because I thought he would, like, maybe not light the league on fire or anything, but I thought he would be a competent football player. Agreed. When he gets in there, because of the leverage, because of the hands, because of the power,
yeah,
and just how good he was against the run at Iowa as well. He versus, like, he gets on the field, he's done nothing to this point in his yep. career.
Yep, exactly.
I'll give you Jeff Gladney.
Fuck, yeah, another guy we had in our 20s, I think, both of us.
He really struggled against the Falcons. He forced a fumble, and hey, he's very active. He's a very feisty, active tackler, but he's really struggling as an outside corner. And maybe he makes that shift to nickel. We'll see. But just overwhelmed by size was kind of one of my takeaways. Struggled with Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley's route running gave him some issues.
It's a tough matchup. And,
yeah, no, it was definitely not an easy one. It's just he
hasn't been good.
The other two Vikings corners that are also rookies definitely outplayed him against the Falcons.
Fair enough. I'll throw one more in here for posterity's sake. T. Higgins, baby, who I wasn't ready to say. I know I'm dipping
hey.
In. But I wasn't ready to say I missed a few weeks ago because I was waiting for his big game. Here it was, 125 yards, yep. 6 grabs. So, yeah, I was too low, and he looks like he'll be there, Z, for a long time there.
And I already threw him under this, I think, a week or two ago?
Two weeks ago, yeah. I think after the Eagles game, yeah.
Speaking of Eagles, I bet they need to trim their nose hairs. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker, a nose and ear hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror, and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it is waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. You wouldn't want it to just be powerful and not rechargeable, and you wouldn't want it to be just rechargeable and not powerful. This gives you both. Have you ever... I made that up myself, AJ. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? If you did, you're dead and you're in a fucking grave.
Rest in peace.
That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Personally, I couldn't get a date until I started using the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping using the code armchair at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed and hairs in our holes looking nice. And the World Series is on right now, actually. Plus, there's NFL every weekend. And when college football games aren't postponed or canceled, they happen. So head to BetOnline and gamble away all your life savings. But don't do that, because that would mean you have a problem. We don't gamble if we have problems. No. Use gambling. I've dug myself into a hole. Yeah. Use gambling as a fun way to enjoy sports with minimal bets. Does this sound like I'm reading a real ad? Because I'm not. It's all made up myself.
It sounds like you're in a hole here, bud.
So maybe a $5 bet. Maybe a parlay. Do what is fun and not yes. what will
play get within you your limits, Rob.
There it is. Thanks for saving me. Bet online. Okay, who needs to step it up, AJ? I already said AJ Epinesa.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a couple of Rob's and AJ's greatest hits down the stretch here, so let's get ready. Hey, you let it in. You'll see, don't worry. Speaking of the Eagles, I know, you'll get it right away. John Hightower, baby. I think you had
still not good?
No, still not good, Rob. Had a brutal fucking drop on a would-be touchdown.
Shit.
Wentz can't get anything from anyone. The receivers are so bad this week. Offensive line's garbage. And he's kind of better now, so there we go. Anyways, he did get a 50-yard catch. That was big for them. But that's his only catch. One catch, 50 yards. Had four targets. He's a nine-trick pony like I tried to tell you over a year ago now, baby. And now he can't catch either, so it's great. It's a perfect recipe. Quez Watkins is back, but I don't think he caught the ball. Greg Ward is going back to being a quarterback. J.J. Arcega-White's a massive miss for AJ. They still need John Hightower to step up. And I mean, when he's flying, he's getting open, but he can't catch. And he did one time, 50 yards, but he's got to catch the other one. It would have been a touchdown. So, John Hightower, get open and catch the ball, please.
Wow, you just dunked on him.
Fuck mean. You, Daniel Jeremiah, and your evaluation, too.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're just calling people out now. Do you have anybody else, or should we move on?
No, let's move on. We want more greatest hits, Rob. Not ready to play? Isaiah Simmons, because, I mean, he must not be, right? Fuck.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. This game was over in the first quarter. I know it was, what, 14-0, but it was over. The Cowboys offense was garbage. And Simmons still played like 18 snaps. Sick.
21 snaps.
I think three of them were special teams. I don't know. I saw 10.
I've got it open. 21 defensive snaps, 10 special team snaps. Okay, that's pretty good.
Because I saw I saw 21 somewhere else and I saw 18 somewhere else. So
he accidentally broke up a pass by accident.
That's what I was about to get to, baby. The ball did hit him in the back. And he was there, I guess. He carried the receiver downfield. So that was nice, but this is just getting crazy that he can't get on the field. Oh, sorry.
I've decided they should give up on him as a linebacker and make him a box safety.
I don't know, man. It's like,
just make him Cam Chancellor.
Yeah, why not? Why not? But I mean, they got safeties. Buda Baker had the game of his goddamn life.
I swear to God, that is one of the greatest safety games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. Byron Murphy had a great game. Thompson wasn't bad. Like, it was the young secondary guys showed up.
Yeah, just keep drafting UW DBs.
And keep playing Andy Dalton, correct.
God, I love UW DBs. I can't wait to live there one day. Okay, I'll throw two corners at you. Trevon Diggs, who was also in this game.
But he was better.
I was going to say, he wasn't like absolutely torched or anything, but He just doesn't have the one that really bothered me is when they ran mesh and he just got so lost. DeAndre mm-hmm. Hopkins picked up like 40 yards on the catch and run. And like, he just doesn't look like he should be on the field yet. But
you're right. But like, he might, like, he makes the best plays in that secondary. I'm not saying he's the I don't know how to put it, because Daryl Worley's a, I swear to God, I've saw people standing Daryl Worley. He's like, he's been up.
Yep.
No, he's garbage. He's not good. Sorry, Daryl Worley. That secondary is a disaster. I know. I'm being an asshole today. I don't know why. That secondary is so bad. So, like,
I guess your point is they can't afford not to play him.
Yeah, I think that. Thank you, Ralph. Yeah.
Rather than just ruin Daryl Worley's life and burn his family to the ground the way you were there. I also put AJ Terrell, who he had pretty solid first half.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went a little bit downhill from there. Had an interception on, it was a pretty sick interception too, on a underthrown, or like a poorly placed ball.
So he sounds like he should win Rookie of the Week. Okay, continue.
Yeah. Had a nice TFL. Really, really nice tackling, actually. But in the second half, he really struggled in man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
He just, like, he looked, versus Trevon Diggs, who I just don't think is going to end up being that good. AJ Terrell, you saw the potential there. But then the second half, he just got kind of overwhelmed against Adam Thielen, against Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a horrible performance or anything. I think that, again, they can't really afford not to play him though. So I don't know.
You sound so torn. Coming off COVID, I think that's a good game. And he deserves the Pepsi Rookie of the Week nomination that he got.
Wait, he got nominated for Rookie of the Week?
Yeah, he's one of the nominations, yeah.
Alright, okay.
It's a bad week this week.
That's true. He's also my... Who else was nominated?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. A guy I'm going to mention in a second, Justin Jefferson.
Wait, it's not offensive and defensive? How did... No, it's one.
I don't know how it works. I really have no idea. It's like five guys.
Because it should be Jefferson, Wirfs, Swift, Allaire.
Swift is one of
Claypool.
Them, yeah. Claypool wasn't...
Anyway, okay, best day three rookie.
Solomon Kinley, shout out to Matt McCune again, baby. Because he was mauling again, and he's obviously been great. We've mentioned him multiple times. And I honestly, he's been getting better, too, because especially in pass protection. I felt like early in the year, you were giving me a little too much credit. All right, Rob? But now he definitely deserves it.
I'm just being an asshole. Now that you've decided? I hate you.
No, I'm just being a dick. but yeah, no, he's gotten better in pass protection. He's still mauling in the run. And we touched upon earlier, and maybe that's a good reason why Tua is playing now. And Robert Hunt looked pretty good, too, while we're here, too. So that's huge.
Well, yeah, because Austin Jackson went to IR. They moved Jesse Davis to left tackle and inserted Robert Hunt. Yep. And obviously, it's not ideal they lose Austin Jackson, but it's nice to see that Hunt looks like the future at right tackle.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so.
I went with two rookie guards also drafted on day three because that's the segment. Kevin Dotson with the Steelers got the start at right guard for injured David DeCastro. And then our king, Michael Onwenu, who, I don't know, he's playing right tackle snap, the next he's playing left guard. Now he's a right guard. The Patriots are moving everybody around.
Has anyone talked about why they're doing that?
Well, in this game, it was partially because of injuries. Illuminor is why he was starting a right tackle, and then did someone get hurt? Did they just do it? I'm not sure.
I think Wynn was out for a couple plays.
It was weird though, because sometimes it started with Heron, who's also a rookie at left tackle, Wynn at left guard, and Wenyu at right tackle. And then all of a sudden, they just, swapped Heron and Wynn.
I'm telling you, Belichick's about to reinvent football again by playing matchup offensive line.
They moved Heron to right tackle. They moved Onwenu to left guard. Then Hjalte Froholt was in. I don't know what was going on. Anyway, Michael Onwenu, pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's good.
One of Cam Newton's best plays came early in the first half. He threw a perfect cut block to spring the run. He just mauls people. I think he is a 10-year starter at guard. He in pass protection too, just locked down against a pretty creative Broncos front seven.
Mm-hmm.
And he was they had issues with the offensive line, and it was never him. And then with Dotson, it's just DeCastro is one of the best guards in football, and Dotson inserted, and it was just like DeCastro wasn't even missed. I think once DeCastro's healthy, Matt Filer's probably going to be leaving free agency this offseason. Dotson's going to take over the left guard spot. A dude who wasn't even invited to the combine, which is criminal. And yeah, hey, big hit for us. Top 100 on my board. and just, he was killing people, and he's just so good in the run game. I mean, him and Onwenu have similar vibes about their playing style.
Yeah, it felt like there's a lot of those guards
in this Kinley stretch. Too.
Hey, all three of those guys. I had Dotson and Damian Lewis back to back, 83 and 84, baby.
That's like nice. Yeah, all four of those guys. Damian Lewis too. Obviously, he was on a bio this week, but all four of those guys similar kind of style.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Oh, I have one more. Braden Mann.
Yeah.
Ten punts.
He was stud, baby.
Got me 15 fantasy points.
You drafted him in the first round, so it was worth
it. Sick. I love. Hey, I'm telling you, that one Texas A&M game from 3 years ago, I was a little drunk on Twisted Tea. I thought it was the greatest punter game I've ever seen. Best undrafted rookie.
Not friend of the trail. One of my guys, baby, Jermichael Hasty. It wasn't an amazing performance, but he came in after Mostert got hurt, unfortunately, again. And they mixed him in with, just instead of McKinnon, as Shanny does. I don't think it was an amazing performance, but he got 37 yards, and he looked pretty shifty every time he touched the ball. I don't know what he's going to be in this offense going forward, but I guess he's going to be mixed in until Tevin Coleman comes back. And there was no really great UDFA performance. I know James Robinson could be here every week, but maybe he's quiet as game, so.
Yeah, I put James Robinson because he wasn't even that good, but like there was I didn't have any other undrafted rookies really making much of an impact. Yeah. Caught a garbage time touchdown. It wasn't really his fault, though. The Lions' defense looked really, really good.
That's weird.
And Gardner Minshew looked horrible.
I was gonna ask about Okuda, but I feel like maybe you have him somewhere. I don't know.
No, I don't. He was like, it was more like they didn't even target him, really.
Mm.
Like, Minshew was underthrowing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Minshew was bad back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. Anyways, hey, rookie who flashed, baby, look who it is, Cole Kmet. His first career touchdown. It was a nice catch, man. It was in traffic. It was contested. Nice throw from Foles too. That was good. Had another catch for 11 yards. Maybe it's time for the Bears to work him in a bit more. Honestly, like, he would be a nice piece for this offense if he emerges as a red zone threat. And they're what, 5-1 now, or the hell they're very much in the playoff mix. They're probably going to make the playoffs even if they fall apart. Kmet could be a nice piece if they can work him in more. And he had one catch before this game. This is his first career touchdown. I don't know. Like, if you get him some more red zone targets, why not? That's my spiel, Rob.
So happy for you.
You drafted him high, so we might as well use him.
Most weeks I would have talked about DeAndre Swift somewhere else, but I just had so many wicked dudes. Swift looked awesome against the Jaguars. They were playing Adrian Peterson early, and then Swift started ripping off some chunk runs, had a 54-yard run. They give it to him three straight times at like the goal line till he scored at one point, had another rushing touchdown. 116 yards on the day, two TDs. To me, he just, like, especially when you're watching Adrian Peterson and him, he looks so explosive in comparison. And one of my favorite runs was they ran like they're running through the B gap, and it was just totally clogged. He fully reverses field, cuts up, and he's just faster than everybody and ends up picking up like 12, 15 yards. There's a couple runs like that, and a couple inside runs where he's just banging people. It was a very complete rushing performance from Swift, although the majority came on one carry. I thought it was a really solid day from him, and he should see a lot more touches going forward. At least I would hope.
Yeah, I was about to say, is he going to, though? Probably not, because they love Adrian Peterson, baby.
I also, shout out T. Higgins. You talked about him a little bit earlier. Cam Dantzler, he was fantastic around the line of scrimmage. Had 2.5 TFLs.
Big, oh, wow.
He was awesome in run support. And he kind of swallowed up any of the short passes that went his way. It was his best game by miles.
Move him to safety.
Maybe. And Tyler Johnson, because he caught a touchdown.
Hey, I forgot to put him down. I'm glad he mentioned it.
Out of nowhere, Rook.
Hey, another Pepsi Rookie of the Week nominee, baby. Mr. Relevant himself, Tate Crowder, who's been playing a lot for the Giants this year, but we haven't talked about him at all. Had 10 tackles, returned a fumble for a touchdown that won them the game with 3.5 minutes left. And then because the Giants can't enjoy anything, he went on IR yesterday. But,
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, sucks. But yeah, he's played a lot for the Giants. Like, the Giants linebackers and, like, not great, but he's been all right. And, like, that's a big performance from Mr. Irrelevant. And then to even make the team and be playing immediately, that's impressive. So I think he deserved the big shout-out this week, Rob.
I will go with Harrison Hand, the Vikings rookie corner. He broke up a deep ball. He had a big special teams tackle. He looked like far more confident than you'd expect out of a day three rookie corner in a secondary full of rookie corners. Has a little swagger to him. I love his physicality. It was nice.
They drafted so many DPs.
Yeah, they did. Okay, so finally, start the Rook.
I alluded to it earlier. Matt Peart, our favorite player, baby. I thought he looked pretty good when he was in there. Like, not amazing at all, but I thought he looked solid. I thought it wasn't much of a difference between him and Andrew Thomas. The weird thing was, though, Fleming had, like, a good game, especially on Chase Young. They only give up one sack in totality, but I mean, this team is a disaster. The season is over. I mean, even in the NFC East, play Pert at right tackle because that's where he fits anyways, and not as a replacement for your goddamn fourth overall draft pick. Like, what? Doesn't make sense. And maybe it did.
We love Matt Pert.
Yeah, we do. Maybe it did light a fire under Andrew Thomas a bit, but like, I don't understand. By the way, sticking in the same game, this is just, I just wanted to mention this. Sadiq Charles got started. That's what I wanted to mention here. And then got hurt on the second snap of the game, which really sucks.
But dislocated knee.
Yeah, started at left guard. Kneecap. Yeah, kneecap. Yep. It is. That sucks big time.
I'm going to stick in the trenches of the NFC East and go with Neville Gallimore.
Oh, I like it.
Look, Dallas, I know you're pretending you're competing for the NFC East, and even if you win it, you're going to lose in the first round, so who cares? You're playing Trevon Diggs, who's getting, like, torched every other week. You don't have a whole lot going for you on the interior defensive line. Tristan Hill's done. Gerald McCoy's done. Start Neville Gallimore. Let's see what he's got. He's a freaky athlete. He's Canadian. Didn't pancake him, though. Or at least have, like, I know his snap count has gone up the last 2 weeks, but at least have him, like, out there in certain packages. I just want to see what he's got.
No, that's a good one. I didn't think about that, especially like you mentioned the injuries to IDL. I mean, Tristan Hill sucks, but he got hurt. So, yeah, get Gallimore in there, man. That's a good pick.
All right. Hey, and we're no longer going to make NFL picks on the show because you heard it. It wasn't great.
I was just going to ramble about the Vikings more. So,
you can follow us on Instagram at, what's the ad, AJ?
I don't know. Seven Rounds in Heaven, it'll pop up.
Seven Rounds in Heaven, it'll pop up. You follow us there. We're going to put our picks up there. We also put things like Offensive Rookie and Defensive Rookie of the Week. Offensive and Defensive Prospect of the Week. We spotlight different rookies and prospects for games. It's a lot of fun. We deserve the follow. Maybe we'll go live one day.
Hey, no, I will never do an Instagram live. Only if it's like after like 2 a.m. for some reason, like some other Instagrams do. Hey, follow us on Twitter, I guess, too. Why not? Seven Rounds in Heaven. It's okay, too. Less content.
It's okay.